The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Friday, May 15, 2015.
There was a land called Paradise. And it wasn't called Paradise because it was more beautiful than any other land. It was called Paradise because of the way its citizens treated one another with compassion and kindness. And the land was ruled by a wonderful queen who herself was kind and just. She knew that the way she treated her subjects would guide the way her subjects treated one another, and so she was always sure to be respectful of every citizen's needs. But the queen grew old, and she knew it was time for her to choose her successor, and so she appointed her son as king after her. Now, the son was not quite so compassionate as his mother. He tended to be somewhat self-absorbed. And on his first day on the throne, he exhibited that when two advisors came to him and said, "Your Majesty, we have a very serious problem. There is a corner of the kingdom which is suffering from a famine. There's no food, and unless you help, everyone will starve." The young king said, "Well, I'm sorry if they're hungry. I have plenty of food to eat, so it's just not my problem." The king's advisors looked at one another in amazement, shook their heads, and slowly walked away. But the next day they came back and they said, "Your Majesty, we have a problem. There's another quarter of your kingdom where the river that provides all the fresh water has dried up, and your people are thirsty. Unless you provide water for them to drink, they will die." The king poured himself a tall glass of water and said, "Well, I have plenty of water to drink. If they're dying of thirst, I'm sorry, but that's just not my problem." Again, the two advisors walked away in disgust. Well, pretty soon, paradise wasn't paradise anymore, because no one seemed to care about one another's needs. No one even remembered the way the kingdom had once upon a time been, except for one old man, a fisherman. And he decided he was going to teach this young king an important lesson. He went and he hauled his boat out of dry dock and placed it in the harbor. And he began to work on it. Citizens would come by and say, "Old fisherman, what are you doing?" And he would answer, "Well, I'm turning this old boat into a beautiful yacht." And they said, "Well, that's terrific. When it's done, do you think we could come out for a ride with you?" And the fisherman said, "Absolutely. In fact, when this yacht is done, I'll invite everyone to come out for a ride with me, even the king." So the old fisherman worked day by day on the yacht. It took about 3 months, but pretty soon the old fishing boat had been transformed into something of beauty. It was a sunny May morning, and the fisherman called out, "Everyone, please feel free to come aboard my yacht and enjoy the summer sunshine." And the citizens all came out on board the yacht, including the king, who brought his own picnic basket. Well, once the yacht was all loaded up, the fisherman took the line off the pier and guided the yacht out into the harbor. Once he was out in the harbor, he dropped the anchor, and he said to all his passengers, the king included, "Feel free to swim off the side of the yacht. If you wish, you can lie in the sun, unpack your picnics, enjoy." And so everyone did. About 2 o'clock or so, the afternoon winds began to kick up and the boat began to rock back and forth a little bit. And the passengers said to the fishermen, "You know, we've had a wonderful afternoon. I think it's time we head back to shore." And the fishermen said, "Absolutely. But first, there's something I need to do." And he went underneath, pulled out from the cuddy a drill. And he walked over to the center of the boat. And there in the center of the boat, he began to drill a hole. Now the passengers grew a little bit concerned and said to the fisherman, "Old man, if you drill a hole in the hull, water will come up through the hole and the boat will sink." The old fisherman, though, didn't seem to hear them, or if he did, he didn't pay any attention, and he kept right on drilling. Finally, the king saw that there was this disturbance in the middle of the boat, and he came over to see for himself. There was the fisherman drilling the hole, and the king said, "Old man, stop drilling that hole." The fisherman looked up at the king and said, "Your Majesty, it's my boat, and it's my drill, and I'm drilling this hole." "But why?" "Because it's a beautiful day for drilling holes." "Fisherman, don't you know what will happen?" Now the king was becoming a little panicked himself. "If you drill that hole, water will fill the boat and the boat will sink and we'll all drown, and I don't want to drown." The fisherman looked up at the king and said, "Well, I'm sorry you don't want to drown, but that's just not my problem." The king said to the fisherman, "What do you mean it's not your problem? If I drown, you'll drown. If I have a problem, you have a problem. And if you have a problem, I have a problem. And if anyone has a problem, everyone has a problem. Because we're all in the same boat." And as he said those words, he stopped. It was like he discovered the answer to a riddle, and he repeated them back. "If I have a problem, you have a problem. And if you have a problem, I have a problem. And if anybody has a problem, everybody has a problem, because we're all in the same boat." The fisherman put down his drill. He knew that his message had been conveyed. He guided the ship back to shore. All of the passengers, including the king, disembarked. And from that day forward, the king ruled that land with compassion and concern and justice. And the land became paradise once again. That story, based on a teaching from Leviticus Rabbah, teaches us the lesson of collective responsibility. And it is a lesson you, our confirmands, clearly have embraced. You chose for your study theme this year poverty. This country is the richest in the world, and yet 1 in 7 Americans lives below the poverty line. 1 in 4 children go to bed hungry each night. And collectively, Americans spend $2 billion more a year on cosmetic products than is estimated as necessary to provide basic education for everyone in the world. We have a problem. Parashat Bahar B'chukotai teaches us about our responsibility to the poor. It warns us against the stratification of society, the gap that allows the very rich to become so far alienated from the very poor. Torah mandates our concern for the poor not simply as chesed, charity, but as tzedek, justice. And that too is a call that you have heard and embraced. Bahar, the portion's name, means on the mountain. And tonight, in a very wonderful way, you have ascended that mountain. As the Israelites did of old, you have embraced Torah into your lives, affirmed Judaism's place, as you go forward. And now we are going to need you to come down from that mountaintop and to teach Torah's lessons in the valley below, a world often broken by pain, injustice, and suffering. You heard that in the congregation tonight are younger members of our religious school program, those who have religious school with honors. Also our 7th and 8th graders who have participated in wonderful mitzvah tzedakah work, and those who are becoming B'nai Mitzvah tomorrow. You are not just extraordinary role models for them, but for every single one of us. And in our gratitude to you, in our enormous pride in you, we would ask God's blessing upon you. I'd ask everyone to please rise in our confirmands to come stand before the ark. With love for who you are now and for whoever you are yet to be, I'm going to invite those in our congregation tonight who once upon a time celebrated their own confirmation at Temple Emmanuel to lead with me the blessing on the top of page 13. May God bless you and keep you. May God smile upon you and be gracious to you. May you feel God's presence within you always, and may you know peace. Amen.